Greetings and welcome back to TanakhStudy.com, the podcast program in which we study Parashat HaShavua over the course of six podcasts during the week in which that parasha is read. My name is Yitzchak Yat Shalom, and I'm delighted to be studying the second half of Sefer Shemot with you. We are now beginning our study of Parashat Tetzaveh, which in the conventional division, which is not a Jewish division of chapters, actually begins at the end of chapter 27, Perak Chavzayin Pasuk Chaf. And just to bring us into the flow of things, recall that throughout Parashat Truma, we heard about donations for the Mishkan, including several donations that have not yet been clarified as to their use, and we will see about that soon, and about the pertinences of the Mishkan, the structure of the Mishkan, the location of different things in the Mishkan, the Mizbeach on the outside of the Mishkan, and then the courtyard and the boundaries of the courtyard. All of those things were things that were to be constructed once and then, of course, moved. Now we move into a different phase of things. And that seems to be why we begin a new parasha here, even though it seems to be in the middle of an idea, Ve'ata Tetzaveh, but we will see that difference right away. Ve'ata Tetzaveh B'nei Yisrael, this is Perak Chaf Zayin, Pasuk Chaf. Ve'ata Tetzaveh B'nei Yisrael, you Moshe, command B'nei Yisrael, V'ikhoi lach Hashem en Zayit Zach, Katit Lama'or, Lahalot Ner, Tamid. You are to command Bnei Israel, and they should bring to you Shemen Zayit Zach Katit. So we have to see what that means. Shemen Zayit, olive oil, Zach, which means pure, and Katit, which means smashed. In other words, olives, you have to smash olives to get the oil out. And what's the purpose? Lamaor, for light. Lahalot Ner, to make it, to enlighten a Ner, Tamid. One note here about Tamei Mikra. Tamei Mikra are very helpful in helping us to understand phrases and phrases that often get misquoted or taken out of context. In many synagogues, there is a light which is always lit somewhere near the Aron HaKodesh or over the Aron HaKodesh, and it's referred to as the Ner Tamid. And it's taken from this Pasuk. However, in this Pasuk, there is no such thing as a Ner Tamid. If you look carefully at Tamei HaMikra, you'll see that it says Lahalot Ner Tamid. And Tamid is not describing the Ner, meaning it's not a Ner Tamid, but it's Lahalot Tamid et Haner, which means that the Ner should always be inflamed. Ends up being sort of the same thing, but looking at Tamei HaMikra, we see the phrasing and the syntax is a little different. Critical to note here, though, that when the Parashat HaMenorah, which we saw last week in Parashat Truma, there was mention of the He'elad Neroteha, he should light the Nerot, but we aren't told with what to light the Nerot or any of the details of lighting, such as when, etc. And now we're told that they are to bring the Shemen for that purpose. Why is the Shemen presented distinctly from the making of the Menorah? And in a parallel fashion, you could ask, why is the mitzvah of Lechem HaPanim, which is detailed in Vayikra Chaf Dalet, separate from the making of the Shulchan, which we had in Chafei, as opposed to the placing of the Luchot, which is right there in Chafei with the Aron? And the answer seems to be quite straightforward, is that both the Lechem and the Shemen are things that are going to have to be made on a regular basis, not just at a one-time deal, and therefore they have their own particular location. The Shemen is here and mentioned again later on, and the Lechem in Vayikra, as opposed to the other appurtenances, which are one-time creations. And therefore, instead of this parasha beginning with Ve'asita or Ve'asu, they shall make, rather, Ve'ata Tetzaveh, you command Bnei Yisrael to bring to you Shemen Zayin Zach L'Katin Lamor. That's going to be on a regular basis. They'll bring it to you now, they'll bring it to you later, every year or however often it is done. Halachically, of course, every year we're mechadesh the donations to the mikdash for the new year of korbanot, etc. And as such, this starts out with a slightly different beginning than the mitzvot that we had in Parshat Truma, which were about one-time structures. And now we're told that they're to bring this oil. By the way, the oil was mentioned in the beginning of the donation, Shemen Lamaor, but we weren't told what it's used for was till now. Be'ohel Moed, Michutz la parochet, asher al ha'edut, We're going to come back to that phrase. Ya'aroch oto Aharon uvanav mi'erev al boker lifnei Adonai. Chukat olam ledorotam mi'et bnei Yisrael. And by the way, this is the first time that Aharon uvanav are associated with the Mishkan. We haven't heard about their place here yet. And this is sort of where they're introduced as being the ones who are going to officiate and the ones who are going to go inside. So Ohel Moed, that's the tent that has already been commanded regarding the place to meet. And why is it called Ohel Moed? Because the whole point of the Ohel is the Kruvim above the Aron, and the Kruvim is V'no'adti Shama L'Bnei Yisrael, the place that I will meet with Moshe and with Bnei Yisrael and give more mitzvot. So it's called Ohel Moed. Where is this going to be? Michutz laparochet. Now, we're already told that the menorah is michutz laparochet. So this phrase seems to be a little bit extra. And then the next phrase is just odd. Michutz laparochet asher al ha'idut. In other words, you're going to put this outside of the parochet, which is over the edut, meaning the parochet, which covers the edut, which is inside the aron, covered by the kaporet, covered by the kruvim, and the whole area is blocked off by the parochet. So why this this entire development? Why not just say Be'ohel Moed b'menorah? And it seems to connect with what we discussed last week in the discussion about Parshat Truma, that the menorah seems to be an extension, as it were, of the Kruvim, with the Miksha Achat of Zahav, one piece of Zahav, everything formed from that, as opposed to the Shulchan, which seems to be a form of an extension of the Aron, made of Atzei Shittim, but Mitzupim Zahav. And therefore, the menorah, in a sense, is also related to the Edut as if it's the thing that's over it, like the Kaporet. And therefore, this mixture that goes on, Michutz laparochet asher al ha'edut, brings those into closer proximity. Ya'aroch oto Aron uvanav mi'erev ad boker. So when should they set up these lights and have them lit? From evening until morning, lifnei Adonai. Now, lifnei Hashem is a phrase that shows up many times in Tanakh, and sometimes it's a little bit unclear as to what it means. Here it's quite clear. It's going to be right in front of the parochet, which of course is in front of the edut, and the chukat olam ledorotam. This is going to be a law forever. Me'ep Bnei Yisrael. Me'ep Bnei Yisrael, meaning Bnei Yisrael have to provide the shemen for that purpose. And now that we have introduced two new things, new thing number one is the place and the role of Aharon uvanav, and the second one is that we have introduced things that we're going to make that are not going to be structural. Then that brings us to Perak Chafchet. V'ata hakrev elacha et Aharon achicha v'panav ito mitoch bnei Yisrael lecha hanoli. And this seems to be a little bit out of sequence, because you would normally think, let's first identify Aharon and his sons as being the Kohanim, and then talk about their role with the Shemen. But the Shemen was presented first, the Shemen Lama'or. So you are to bring close to you Aharon, your brother, and his sons with him, meaning they're not acting independently, they're with him. Mitoch Bnei Yisrael Lachanoli, meaning you are to select them from among Bnei Yisrael and show Bnei Yisrael that they are selected as the choice people to do this job. Lachanoli, to serve me. Aharon, Nadav, Avihu, Elazar, Vitamar, Bnei Aharon. So Aharon and his four sons are going to be the ones who are lachanoli, who are going to serve me. Now, interesting, if you look through the narrative that we had at the end of Mishpatim, and narratives that we'll have in Kitisan, then of course famously in Parshat Shmini, we'll see that Aharon is always presented with only two sons. It's Aharon, Nadav, and Avihu. After Nadav and Avihu are killed, then Eleazar and Itamar take their places, and it seems to be this notion of the leader and his two sons consistently, and it's a motif through Tanakh, but it's beyond the focus of this shiur to go into more details about that. V'yasita v'gdei kodesh the Aron achicha l'chavolo l'tifaret. Now, up until now, it's been Aron uvanav, and now in Pasuk Bet, suddenly Aron is separated. And we have not yet heard about Aharon having a separate station from his sons, but we will get that. We'll get that over the course of this parashat. So, v'asita v'gdei kodesh l'Aharon achicha. You're going to make holy garments for Aharon, your brother, l'chavod ul'tifaret, for glory and for splendor. It means these things should be beautiful. Now, important that we've switched back from the tetzaveh to the viasita, because theoretically these clothes should be one-time things like the kelim of the Mishkan. But viata tedaber al kol chachmei li'elev asher mil etiv ruach chochma. And this is the first time that we hear about artisans, even though we have to assume, of course, that with the construction of the Mishkan and the weaving of the parochet and of the weaving of the tent cover itself, that there had to be experts and artisans involved. We didn't hear about them yet. And now you're going to speak to Kol Chachmei Lev, all the people with wisdom in their heart. Important to note that unlike the way that we view it in Romance languages, the heart in Tanakh is actually the seat of wisdom. Hashem mil etiv ruach chochma, who I have filled with wisdom, meaning these are artisans, v'asu et bigdei aharon l'kadesho l'chahan oli, and they will make the bigdei aharon. So in other words, even though I said v'asita, you should make these garments for Aharon, you speak to the people that I've given wisdom to, and they should make bigdei aharon l'kadesho, that will sanctify him, l'chahan oli. That means that these bigadim, when they're put on Aharon, will raise his status and will also enable him lachanoli. Two different things that they're going to do. There are some who read v'atata b'akol chachmei lev as also reflecting back that you're going to speak to chachmei lev about the earlier things we spoke about in Parshat Truma, and then separately v'asu et bigdei Aharon. They should also make these bigadim. Which in the final analysis is exactly what happens, because Bezalel and his crew are involved in making all of the things of the Mishkan. Now, what are the begadim that they are to make? Choshen ve'efod umi'il. So far, there's three. Choshen, which is some sort of a breastplate, and efod, which is an apron, which goes on the back, and a mi'il is an overcoat. Uchtonet tashbeitz, that's one garment, mitznefet ve'avnet. So at this point, we have actually six garments: a breastplate, an apron, an overcoat, a tunic of sorts, tonet tashbeitz, which means it's a tunic which is going to have holes in it. It's going to be made up of like almost like a tapestry. Mitznefet is a hat, and avnet is a belt. Now we're hearing here about the garments made for Aharon. V'asu v'gdei kodesh de'aron achichu levanav l'chahan oli. And then we're told they're going to make garments for Aharon and his sons, l'chahan oli. So which is it? Is this for Aharon or is this for Aharon and his sons? We'll be able to pull all of that apart only at the end of this perek, which will be in the next podcast. V'heim yichu et ha-zahav v'ta techelet v'ta argaman. Remember, we had zahav, techelet, and argaman as part of the donations. They were already used. The zahav was used aplenty, and the techelet and argaman were used in all of the stitching things. Many of the stitching things, which were also used in the parochet and in the lower level of the Mishkan cover and of the masach. And that's what they're going to use to make these garments. Now notice, the first garment mentioned was the choshen. Nonetheless, the first garment going to be mentioned in detail is going to be the ephod. And we'll see why. Because it's parallel to what we saw in the first passage in Truma. We begin the description teleologically by talking about the goal. The goal is the Aharon. The goal is the Edut. And then, in practice, we have to actually build a Mishkan and then put it in. Here, on a micro level, the goal is really the Choshen. The Choshen is the most important of the Kelim, evidently, the way it plays out. However, therefore, it's mentioned first in the first list. However, when it comes to structuring and building them and forming them and shaping them and adorning them on Aharon, then the ephod has to come first, and we'll see why. V'asu et ha'ephod, they shall make the ephod. Zahav tchelet v'argaman tolat shani v'sheish mozar ma'aseh choshev. Ma'aseh choshev may mean that it's something that has to be stitched very carefully with thinking about images that you're going to make by weaving these colors together and having them be available, seen on both sides. Or does Choshev here actually play, as one of the Rishonim suggests, Sikul Otiyot with the word Lachvosh? And we'll see how that plays out a little bit later on with the connecting pieces of the Ephod. Shtei Chtevot Chovrot, Yelo Oshnei Tzotav V'chubar. So it should have two shoulder pieces that are connected on both sides and connect them. V'cheshev afurato. And this is where, again, one of the Rishonim reads it as like chevesh, meaning the part that gets tied on, like to saddle up a donkey, the part that gets connected. Afurato asher alav, k'maseo mimenu yiyah, which means you take the same kind of stitching to make the ephod, and from it you make a hook that's going to then connect these pieces. Zahav tched v'argamam, t'lachet v'shesh mozav, again, the same materials. V'lakachta et shtei avnei shoham. Now you're going to take two onyx stones, which were part of the original donation to the Mikdash. Ufitachta lehem shemot b'nei Yisrael. You're going to carve into them the names of B'nai Yisrael. B'nai Yisrael meaning, of course, the 12 sons of Yaakov. Shisham mishimotam. How do I know it's 12? Because of the following. Shisham mishimotam al ha'evan achat. Six of the names on one stone. Bet shimota shisham notarim al ha'evan kashenit. And the other six on the other stone. What? Which six go where? And the answer is ketol dotam. They go in order of their birth. And there's a machlok of Rishonim about whether they're six down, the first six, or in Shimon, etc., and then the other six on the other side, or they read a cross. But in any way, in any case, they're in birth order. And so you have two stones that are going to be at the upper strap of the ephod that have together all 12 names. Ma'aseh charash evan. This is a jeweler's job. Pituchei chotam. And you're to engrave it like a chotam, like a seal, meaning emboss it. Tefatach et shtei avanim, l'shmot b'nei Yisrael. Again, carving the names of B'nai Yisrael. Musabot mishpitzot zahav taseh otam. And you are to surround them. Evidently, this is the meaning, or possible meaning, of golden, sort of like a golden setting around each one of the stones there on the top. Samta et shtei avanim al kitfo taifo. Then you take the two stones that have been set into this setting and you put them on the shoulder straps of the ephod. Avnei zikaron livnei Yisrael. These are stones of commemoration for Bnei Yisrael. And we'll see what that means right now. And then Aharon will bear their names in front of Hashem and they'll be on his two shoulders and it'll be a zikaron, as if to say, bringing the memory of these 12 great men who are our ancestors and who represent our family before Hashem. Now this connects both literally and garment-wise with the next piece. V'asita mishpitzot zahav. You're going to make gold settings. U'shtei sharsherot zahav tahor. A sharsheret is a chain. So you're going to make two chains of pure gold. Migbalot. Now migbalot, in modern Hebrew, would mean they're limited. But here migbalot seems to mean that they go to the boundary. You make them out of woven, like weave the chains, but not like braided. So you're going to have these two mishpatzot zahav, and you're going to have two chains of gold that go all the way to the mishpatzot zahav. Again, where is this connecting? Now we'll bring it all together. So we were told before about a choshen. Choshen means, again, a breastplate. What's the purpose of the choshen? It's a choshen mishpat. Why is it called a choshen mishpat? So one simple read of it could be that this is a choshen done according to the proper rule. But that doesn't seem to fit because then it should be an ephod mishpat and a meal mishpat. It's never called that. So the way most Rishonim understand it is it's a choshen that actually operates within the realm of mishpat, of telling us God's judgment or God's rule for what we're supposed to do. This is an oracle. Maaseh choshev, and again, it's maaseh choshev done very carefully and with thought. K'maaseh ephod ta'asenu. So you're going to make it just like the ephod, which is zahav tched v'argamam zalachenu v'shesh mozar ta'aseh oto. And that's descriptions we've already heard. The gold, and this is gold, mean, by the way, gold here, and consistently through these descriptions means gold thread. And tchelet and argaman, the blue wool thread, and the purple wool thread, tolat shani, the scarlet thread, sheish, which is linen, mozar, woven together, ta'aseh oto. Ravua yihye kaful. So it's going to be squared, folded over, doubled over, zeret orko v'zeret rochbo, and it's squared, and this is similar to what we saw about the Mizbeach, where we're given both the length and the width, and told it's ravua, even though the length and width are the same. Here it's again ravua, Zeret, which is evidently a half of an amah, so figure roughly 9 inches or so, maybe a little bit less than that, length and width. So it's a box of that size, which has been doubled over. It's been all of the stitching and then doubled over. And after doubled over, that's the width and length. So you're going to now put settings of stones of four rows of even. So the first set of stones is going to be, and this is how they translate, carnelian, topaz, and smaragd will be the first row. V'atur ha'sheni nofach sapphire v'yahalom, which they translate as carbuncle. Sapphire is easy as sapphire, and yahalom they're translating as an emerald. V'atur ha'shlishi leshem shvo v'yachlama, which is jacinth, an agate, and an amethyst. V'atur v'ish tarshish v'shoam v'yashvei, which is beryl, an onyx, the shoam again, and a jasper stone. Tarshish v'shoam v'yashvei, mishubatzim zahav yub milu'otam. And all of these will be surrounded by zahav. So in other words, there are going to be 12 stones, each with a gold setting around it, that are going to be on the choshen. V'avanim tiyena al shmot bnei Yisrael, 12 al shmotam. Now, the first half of this pasuk seems to indicate that there's sort of a dedication. In other words, each stone is dedicated to one of the names of bnei Yisrael. And again, you don't know who that is, 12 al shmotam, 12. But now you find that it's not just a dedication or a symbolic connection. Pituchei chotam ish al shmo, each one will be carved in with his name. So for the 12 tribes, each one of these stones will have the names on it, of the name of each thing. So Reuven, Shimon, Levi, etc. Chachamim tell us that there's actually extra stones on there in order to make sure that every possible letter in the Hebrew alphabet is represented here. So for instance, there is no Tet on here. So it says Shiftei Yishurun. And as a result, every letter can appear, therefore, for the Choshen Mishpat to be able to do the oracular function of communicating. How that works, we really don't know. V'asita l'choshen sharshot gavlut maseh avot. Now, some read sharshot as being the same as sharshirot, which means chains. And again, you have chains that are braided, zahav tahor, just like we had above. Others read it sharshot as really a different word, is like a shoresh, which means some sort of a root. But either way, it's going to be braided gold. V'asita l'choshen shtei tab'ot zahav. And then you're going to make two gold rings on the choshen. V'natata et shtei tab'ot al shnei k'tzot choshen. You put two rings on the two edges of the choshen. And this should be very familiar. It sounds to us like the aron, and it sounds to us like the shochan, and it sounds to us like the mizbeach. These very special kelim, which had tabaot, and in those cases had badim, because they had four tabaot, two on each side, and staves that went through, and therefore for carrying. Here we're going to have shtei tabaot, not four, and now we're going to find out what the tabaot are for. V'natata et shtei avotot hazahav al shtei tabaot. And then you put the two gold braids of chain through the rings, al k'tzot ha'choshen, into which are on the sides of the choshen. V'etshtei k'tzot shtei ha'avotot titen al shtei mitzpitzot. And then you put them on the two golden settings. V'natatal kitfot teifot al mupanav. And then those will be connected to the shoulder pieces of the ephod, which are coming over the back of the kohen, over his shoulders, and are connecting at that point right underneath his shoulders, or at his shoulders, to the choshen. Yasita shtei tabot zahav, samtaotam al shnei k'tzot ha'choshen. And now you're going to make two gold rings that are going to be on the edge of the choshen. Al sfato shal ever ephod baita, which is going on the hem, which is right under where the ephod is. That's baita. Yasita shtei tabot zahav, and another two rings. V'natataotam al shnei k'tfot ha'ephod b'mata yimul panav, on the shoulders of the ephod underneath, lumat machbarto, just where the things connect, mimal lecheshev ephod, above that cheshev or chevesh. And now let's put it all together. V'yirkesu atachoshen, yirkesu many read as being to connect together. Mitab otav el tabot ephod b'fdil techelet. Remember, there's rings of the choshen, there's rings of the ephod, and now you're going to use a patil techelet, a blue string to connect them liot al cheshev ayfod, so that the choshen is now connected to the cheshev ayfod. And therefore, the choshen will never move from the ayfod. The choshen and the ayfod are now going to be connected together forever. What's the goal of this? V'nasa Aaron et shemot bnei Yisrael b'choshen ha-mishpat al libo b'vo'ol ha-kodesh. When Aaron comes into the Kodesh, he's going to carry the names of bnei Yisrael on the choshen ha-mishpat right over his heart. Zikaron lifnei Adonai tamid. So that there should be a commemoration before God. Just as we saw with the Theophod, now all the names are together here. But all the names are separated out in separate stones. I'll make a comment about that just after finishing our last pasuk. On the Choshen HaMishpat, you're going to put the Urim V'Tumim, and it's unclear whether that actually means to put some new thing on top of it, or is that a reference to the stones that we mentioned? Vayu Alei V'Haron B'Vo'o Lifnei Adonai. And they'll be on his heart whenever he comes before Hashem, he comes to the Kodesh. And Aharon et Mishpat Bnei Yisrael libo lifnei Adonai tamid. And Aharon will keep Mishpat Bnei Yisrael on his heart, meaning Hashem's directions to Bnei Yisrael as to what they are to do with their names, and they will be lifnei Hashem tamid. You notice, by the way, that in the way that Aharon comes into the Kodesh, at the lower level, above his chest, he's got all the names of Bnei Yisrael, but they're all separated. As you move up, you see on his shoulders the names of Bnei Yisrael, also distinct names, but they're brought now together into two groups. And if you look further up Aharon and you see what he's wearing on his above his head, you can see a strip which says two words, Kodesh Lashem. And it's as if the closer, the more that we look up and raise our eyes heavenward, the differences between us disappear and we all become united in that goal of Kodesh Lashem, and Shemot Bnei Yisrael are brought to Zikaron Lifnei Hashem Tamid. We'll pick it up in the next podcast at Pasuk Lamed Aleph and look at the rest of the garments of the Kohen Gadol and also of the Kohanim who are Bnei Aharon. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.